Well, as everybody expected, the U.S. team has smothered the opposition in FIBA World Cup. Nobody even came close in the scoring. It was a complete domination. It was virtually, for all the other teams, a battle for second. No one had any hope to reach to the level of the play of basketball by the United States team. But I keep reminding you that it's just basketball, and one of the reasons for sports is so that man may direct his competitive energy to something positive that is still better than a shooting war. But some contests, even if they do not involve actual shooting, do feel very much like war. May mga paligsahan o mga sigalot na kahit hindi nagbabarilan ay parang pakiramdam mo gyera, parang digmaan. This is true of personal conflicts, and personal conflict is not a problem that Christians are free from, not even a Christian church. And there are ways to manage conflicts so that they lead to the right direction. And the right direction for conflicts is so that it may result in restoration. And the story around the letter of 2 Corinthians is a model of managing a serious conflict between Paul and the church in Corinth. And for half of them at least, it led, or the greater majority, it led to restoration. And Apostle Paul is addressing them in the early part of the second letter to the Corinthians. Those who repented, they are now in the process of restoration. But a minority still remained adamant, matigas pa rin, at kanila pa rin nilalabanan si Apostol Pablo. And we are in that section where Paul is making comparison and contrast with the ministry of his opponents, whom he called the super apostles. We are in that section where Paul reveals the attitude and spirit in conducting one's ministry in contrast with the opponents. In verses 3 and 4, Apostle Paul is anticipating the objection, if Paul's ministry is true, why do many remain in unbelief? And Paul's answer to that is satanic binding of unbelievers creates barriers to the light of the gospel. And then in verses 5 and 6, Apostle Paul spelled out clearly his message. And there we learn that proclaiming the powerful message of the gospel requires decided servanthood. And then last week, we looked at verse 7 alone, and there we see the attitude of the servant who bears the right message. The messenger's consciousness of frailty highlights the power of the message. He mentions his self-consciousness of having treasure, such treasure as the gospel, yet it is put in a container which he himself feels like a clay jar. Now we come to Paul's further description of his frailty, and yet amidst the frailty, victory. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 to 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 to 12. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Now, Paul presents here pairs of contrasts. On the one hand, conceding that he is undergoing through a variety of sufferings, but on the other hand, affirming that he is not yielding ground in terms of the message of his ministry. So on the one hand, concession, on the other hand, affirmation. And the pair that is the most absolute in contrast here is the mention of death and life, both connected to Jesus. In other words, he mentions things that are almost ascending in terribleness, but he comes to the worst of all, and that is death. And yet, even with death, there is the contrast of life. Let me give you this message. Jesus, as the message, enables his servant to gain victory through his frailty. Jesus, as the message, enables His servant to gain victory through His frailty. Si Jesus bilang mensahe ay binibigyang lakas ang kanyang lingkod ng tagumpay sa gitna ng kanyang karupukan. It was the contention of the super apostles, if you remember the point that we made in the previous series, Nature of the Mature, their contention was that the abundance of Paul's sufferings proved him fake. Parang pinababayaan siya ng Diyos, pinahintulot ng Diyos ang napakaraming paghihirap na dumating kay Pablo at kanilang sinasabi na yan ang patunay na hindi siya tunay na lingkod ng Diyos sapagkat pinababayaan siya ng Diyos. As a defense, Paul puts that argument on its head. Paul argues that his victory through his sufferings proves that he has the message right. The mention of both death of Jesus and life of Jesus clearly pertains to the message itself. He is still thinking of gospel terms. The gospel is the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, and the life of Jesus, the death and resurrection. That is the gospel. And my friend, I want again to challenge you whether you have responded to that message of the gospel. When we will have our baptism tonight, God willing, you will see the pictorial demonstration of the dying and the rising of Jesus, and that is the gospel. And my friend, I'm asking you whether you have responded to that gospel. And Paul is thinking in terms of the gospel still when he was trying to explain his suffering. His perseverance in sticking to this message explains his victory despite the agony of his frailty. And this victory is explained in terms of fulfilling the purpose of the suffering because of Paul's message. And this is very important to us, very relevant to us. When you go through suffering because you bear the message of the gospel, because you want to stand on your belief in the gospel, and you suffer, you must know the purpose. And that purpose will give you the victory even through your frailty. And let me suggest two purposes as far as suffering is concerned when it is because of the message. First, for the servant's sanctification, para sa kabanalan ng kanyang lingkod, for the servant's sanctification, and secondly, for the hearer's transformation, para sa pagbabago ng mga tagapakinig, for the hearer's transformation. Both clearly emerge in the explanation of the Apostle Paul. First of all, then, for the servant's sanctification. Why is Paul suffering? The super apostles contended it is because he is not of God. He is not God's servant. That is why he is suffering. On the other hand, Paul explains it in graphic language. He says, we who live are always being given over to death. Now, this is the language of bringing someone to the executioner. A modern equivalent would be as a man is being led to the lethal injection room, the announcement would be made, dead man walking. Now, this is the expression in Greek to suggest that this is how Paul felt. It is almost like he is being delivered to the executioner and he can die anytime. But there is a purpose, Paul explains. And what is that purpose? So that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Upang ang buhay ni Jesus ay maipamalas sa aking mortal na laman. And what that explains to us is that growth in sanctification fulfills the purpose of suffering of the servant. Therefore, when that happens, even through frailty, it is still counted a victory. When things suffer, or when the servant suffers, it is not that something goes haywire in the plan of God, that it has gone out of control and providence is out of control and that explains the servant's suffering. Not at all. It is not that God disapproves of the servant and is penalized by suffering. That's the argument of the super apostles. But it is that in the wisdom of God, the way to show the credibility of the message is through the sanctification of the servant. Sa karunungan ng Diyos, upang maipamalas ang kapanipaniwalang likas ng mensahe, ay makita sa lingkod na handa siyang magdusa alang-alang dito. A man who goes through suffering but will stick to the message, you can come to the conclusion that There must be something to the message. Why this man is going to be willing to suffer because of his message. And the New Testament clearly corroborates the thought that one purpose for suffering is for the holiness of God's people. Listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us, as we long to see you, for this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. Take note how Paul specifies the graces that became productive because of their distress, because of their suffering. He mentions love. He mentions faith. In other words, when you see graces produced as the frailty is made vulnerable to suffering, there, even amidst frailty, a victory is being won. Kapag ang biyaya ay lumalago sa gitna ng karupukan, sa gitna ng paghihirap, kahit pa siya ay nahihirapan, ay masasabi pa rin nating nagwawagi siya ng kanyang tagumpay. Remember, our message, after all, is a dying Savior who yet endured everything to become Lord of all. That's Jesus. He died. He faced the cross with all its agony, with all its humiliation, in order that he may be substitute for sinners. And in the process, by rising from the dead, he has become Lord. Have you responded to that Lord? And this is the purpose of God for the servant to suffer, is so that he may grow in integrity and credibility as far as the message is concerned. I'm reading now a biography of Cesar Virata. Now, those of you old enough would remember that Cesar Virata was Marcos's prime minister, and he served well until the time that Marcos fell from power. Now, this book is written by Jerry Sikat, another professor from UP in economics. And one thing that he has made out is among the men who fell with Marcos, Virata remains untouched because of his integrity. Everybody recognized that integrity, that even though he was close to Marcos, he remained one with integrity, and that was recognized by all. Now, that is something that Christians ought to be, that their integrity, their graces are being recognized even through suffering. And that's victory when that happens. Now, the challenge to us is determine the specific challenge of sanctification posed by a specific suffering. What grace is being motivated? What grace is being polished through that suffering? How will the life of Jesus be manifested in you, a clay jar like Paul, a mortal flesh, amidst his agony of frailty? And this is where Paul's pairs of concession and affirmation give us good examples to emulate. His first pair, he said, we are afflicted. A better translation in the NIV is we are hard-pressed. Now, what would be the normal or logical end when the pressure becomes successful? Well, that is exactly what Paul denies. I am hard-pressed, but not crushed. Then he says, perplexed, which means to be at a loss. Nowhere to go, confused. So he was perplexed, he concedes. But then he affirms, not driven to despair. Faith remains intact. Then the next pair, persecuted. Paul has been threatened. Paul has been harmed. And yet, Paul says, not destroyed. Or as one preacher said, knocked down, but not knocked out. And if you know your boxing, you know that there have been boxers who got knocked down in a round, only to rise and win the whole match. And then he says, you should have your own pair of concession of suffering, but an affirmation of victory. What is your pair? Where you concede, I'm suffering this, but then as an affirmation, I am still a victor. Perhaps your pair is, I have very little. You concede, but then can you say, I am content? A dear one is still lost, but I keep praying. I am mocked, but I am faithful to the message. So what is your pair that you can match with the Apostle Paul? And when a suffering over which you agonize translates into grace, why, that is victory through frailty. So the super apostles are wrong. The very suffering that they use as an accusation that Paul was false was the very suffering that made Paul different from them, because he was a man of grace. He would obey the word, and he would come out victorious, even through his frailty. I've told you about Adoniram Judson, how he changed his conviction from infant baptism to the Baptist persuasion of baptism of believers. Something very much like him happened to another missionary. His name is Luther Rice. Just about the contemporary of Adoniram Judson, he too was going to India in a ship. And there he studied baptism as a pedobaptist, that is, an infant baptizer. But during the course, again, just like what happened to Adoniram Judson, he began to be more and more convinced of the Baptist position. Until by the end of the trip, he was a convinced Baptist in his conviction, and he was baptized in India by the companion of William Carey, William Ward. In contrast with Adoniram Judson, who went on to Burma to become a missionary, Luther Rice went back to the United States, this time committed to support the missionary cause. He established, together with other Baptist leaders, a Bible school for training. He established newsletters to appeal on behalf of missionary causes. Well, when he changed his conviction, he lost his organization, he lost friends, he got mocked, but he acted in step with his conscience, and that is better. He was victorious amidst his frailty, and that is the purpose of suffering, for the servant's sanctification, and secondly, for the hearer's transformation. Another purpose why the servant is in peril of death, Paul says, death is at work in us, but life in you. There's another contrast, but this time it is not about himself. This time the reason why he is so much in peril of dying is so that life may be born in his hearers. We learn here that the servant's suffering for the message of Jesus impacts on hearers, and therefore a victory. Paul will repeat this thought later in chapter 6, verse 4. As servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, etc. By enduring these things, there is that influence of commending him to his hearers. Unlike the super apostles, they have all the credentials, they have all the papers to prove that they were excellent. For Paul, he doesn't need those papers of credentials. He commends himself to his hearers by the way he endures his suffering. Endurance through suffering while faithful to the message is a servant's commendation to his hearers. We see the reversal of this in many ministries today that pander to material blessings. They think if you are of God, you must not be poor. You must not be sick. Well, that is exactly the opposite of what Paul is saying. Now, we are not saying that suffering has any merit, much less that it will do the saving work. The message is the crucial issue for hearers. But then God empowers the message through an enduring servant. He says, for example, in 1 Thessalonians 1, 5, and 6, you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Nang makita nila na si Pablo ay nananatili na matapat sa kabila ng kanyang mga kabigatan, mga kahirapan, ay nandoon yung kapangyarihan na kinasangkapan ng Diyos. Well, it goes back again to Jesus himself. He suffered not only as Savior, but as servant messenger. And Paul boldly calls his suffering as carrying in our body the death of Jesus. It is like sharing the death of Jesus. Oh, he is not claiming to have a share in the atoning significance of the death of Jesus. That atonement is Jesus alone to die. Atonement means the death that you and I should die, but Jesus took it upon himself. And unless you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, one day you will die that death. The only way we can match the death of Christ on the cross is spend eternity in hell. But you don't have to experience that because Jesus died in order to be Lord and Savior. But now for the servant, it means you will share that death in your service. When we suffer for the message, it is like a dramatization of the death of Jesus in the person of his servant. It carries a specially persuasive appeal to the hearers when they weigh the message of the servant. This is true of Jesus. This is true of the apostles. This is true of the New Testament church. This is true in history. And it will be true still in the present and for the future. Whether in a one-on-one setting, in preaching for the church, the enduring servant will have a much more significant appeal to his message. We do not seek popularity. We seek faithfulness to the message. Another insight I got from reading the Virata biography by Jerry Sicat. He has a chapter there on accounting for the fall. That is the fall of Marcos. And there he revealed that Marcos always sought the popular decision. What will be popular for the people? Even though his technocrats are telling him it will ultimately be bad economically. But he will always, ever the politician, Marcos will seek the popular way until it really went bad for the economy. And when Ninoy was assassinated, the trajectory was radical. But it started long before that, when Marcos cannot stand against popularity. What an example to us. We don't seek popularity. We seek faithfulness. But in the process, we will suffer. But here is a secret. In order to gain victory through your frailty, my challenge is insist on thinking of the good of others, even in times of suffering. That's what Paul is doing here. For your sake, I take death, but life in you. How true it is of many that when they suffer, they feel excused to be selfish during the period of suffering. I'm suffering. Let the world think of me. Let the church think of me. Let others think of me. Now, it is every bit right to expect brethren to help and to pray, and for us to seek such help and prayer. But there must be that attitude like Paul's. So death is at work in us, but life in you. He is saying, in effect, I will accept the worst if you get the best. And it is in that sense that Paul could sometimes speak of rejoicing in suffering. Listen to Colossians 1:24. Now rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, that is, the church. Now what does Paul mean, what is lacking in Christ's suffering? Now there is nothing lacking in Christ's suffering as far as saving impact is concerned. It is simply saying, even the sufferings of Christ do not complete the story of suffering servants. In other words, when Christ died, the story of suffering servants has not ended. Servants will still suffer, but will be given the opportunity of victory through their frailty. No suffering will be like Christ's in magnitude. But every true servant of Christ who bears the message will follow the footsteps of suffering. Now, you probably know my sentiment about that very popular poem, Footprints in the Sand, where towards the end it says, when it was in the worst, roughest time of his life, there was only one set of footprints. And Jesus was supposed to have said, during those moments, I carried you. Well, no, it's cute, but it's not biblical mentality. We put our feet in the footprints of Jesus' suffering. That's the way to be a credible servant. When that happens, then it is victory from the jaws of agony when you are following your Lord and you are making impact upon others. So have your thoughts on those who will be most influenced by your message, tempered with agony. And more profit is gained by absorbing the lessons of someone who suffered than to be in the company of the frivolous. You know that I spent 1 year of study in London Theological Seminary. Of all the many lectures that have been profitable to me, only one stands out. And it was a visiting lecturer. His name was Joseph Chon, a preacher from Romania. Romania then was under the dictatorship of Nicolae Ceausescu, and he was persecuting evangelical Christians, among whom was Joseph Chon. And in his lecture to our student body, he related how he was imprisoned and was visited by a general of Ceausescu's army to convince him to change sides, to endorse the dictator, and he would not. And then the general put his gun on his head and threatened him, and Joseph Chon said, if you pull the trigger, my messages will be 100 times louder. Because here is a man willing to die for his message. The general tucked the gun and left. And that made an impression on me, a man willing to suffer. But by that very willingness to suffer, he became credible. At the end of 1989, that was 1989 when he lectured to us, on Christmas Day of 1989, you know the story, Ceausescu and his wife were executed. And Romania is now a free country. But here was a man ready to suffer. And by his very readiness to suffer, he made an impact upon his hearers. So you want victory through your frailty? Here are two purposes. To transform or translate your frailty into victory. Servant sanctification and the hearer's transformation. And we can put this under the full confidence that even as we go through suffering, we have a sovereign protector. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos at mabuting Ama, nagpapasalamat kami na mayroon kaming mga ganitong malinaw na mga pagtuturo sa kadahilanan ng pagpapahintulot mo ng mga kahirapan, kabigatan sa iyong mga lingkod sa gitna ng aming karupukan ay maari kang magbigay ng tagumpay. Malaman lamang namin ang mga layunin mo sa aming mga dinaranas katulad ng dinanas ni Apostol Pablo. And so we pray that amidst our frailty, may we know that victory which retains the message that has been entrusted to us. And your purpose for the suffering is for the servant's sanctification. So grant that we may have the wisdom when we are going through rough times, that we may determine the challenge that that specific suffering poses to us in terms of growth in grace and holiness. And may we be enabled to register such growth even in the midst of our frailty, in the midst of our suffering, and that will certainly be counted as victory. And grant that we may also understand that your purpose for the suffering is for the hearer's transformation, because as the servant suffers and yet remains faithful and committed, there is a growing credibility and integrity that is not lost on the hearers of the message we bear. So make us a church, make us Christians who are willing to undertake all that you permit on our way to suffer in order that we may have the greater commendation and credibility in the eyes of the hearers of the word. And we pray, Lord, that you may speak to those who still have not responded to the gospel of the death of Jesus and the life of Jesus, that this may be the day when there will be conviction on their part and that you will lead them to the Lord Jesus for their Lord and Savior. We return to you all the thanks, all the praise, and all the honor. We pray all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.